Okay, again, we had to practice inside today because of the weather, and we got some really good work working on our situations and in preparation for the 49ers. So I know I'll open it up, and Daryl, would you like to lead us off?
Coach, how important will it be to establish the physicality in this game with their reputation for being so physical on it?
San Francisco has a reputation being physical, and they live up to that reputation on both sides of the football. And I think they actually do a very good job on special teams as well. So it's going to be important for us to match the intensity and try to, be the team that wins the line of scrimmage. And I think it's going to be very important. I think the team that wins the line of scrimmage is going to really enhance their chances of winning.
How much are y'all expecting to see Ricky James from spot? I guess they swap out at the nose tackle a little bit.
A little bit. They don't do a whole lot of substitution, and Ricky is probably the guy that comes in and gets the most snaps in their rotation. They're gonna play with the guys. They'll switch the nose man out for the nickelback in terms of their in terms of their substitution package. They're not like a lot of teams that have a whole lot of guys running in and out. Those guys line up and play. They're tough guys, and they're gonna give you 60 minutes.
You've done pretty well this year against 3-4 teams, and some of your guys were saying that with Coach Nolan seeing some of those looks in practice that helps. How much do you think that's helped this year?
Well, I think our defense has a lot of multiplicity to it, and working in the off season through training camp, OTAs, mini camps, there is a tinge of some 3-4 principles. So we've got a pretty good ideal of what type of runs we feel are going to be successful against 3-4 teams.
Coach, anything new with John Abraham?
John Abraham was limited in practice today, along with Jonathan Babineau and Christopher Owens. It was very nice to see Christopher Owens back out participating in practice. He looked well rested and recovered from his hamstring injury. So John was a limited participant, as well as Jonathan Babineau.
Give your offense, how challenging is that to prepare for all the different looks they have?
It's very challenging. They run some very unique formations. I think that Coach Roman and Coach Harbaugh and the offensive staff have a plan each and every week of what they want to do formationally. They will run a traditional offense that we're used to seeing, but they will also run the read play, and they'll run it out of the pistol formation that Colin had run in college. So it is a challenge, and I think we'll find out early in the ball game what the formations are going to be for the ball game, and we're going to have to be prepared to stop them. I think we'll see things that we haven't seen in terms of what they'll do with their formations.
Mike, from the little that we get to see in practice, the team seems loose, they seem focused, they seem like they're enjoying the moment, and that's kind of what we've heard in the locker room. How much do you play a role in that?
Well, we try to set the stage each and every week with our messaging as a coaching staff, and our guys have been I think very well prepared all season long. I think this week is no different than any other week in terms of the process that we go through on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This is a group that likes to have fun. They like to work hard. And I think when you have, when you have that combination and you understand the magnitude of the games that you're going to be playing in the postseason, it will help you be relaxed. And I think it's important to be relaxed. I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, our goal each and every week is not to be overworked or underprepared. We want to be just right at 3:00 on Sunday.
Coach, can you talk about what Tony Gonzalez has meant to this team, especially in terms of intangibles?
Well, we know what he's capable of doing on the football field on Sunday afternoons and Monday nights, Thursday nights, whenever you're playing. He's, in my estimation, he's the greatest tight end to ever play the game, and that's not to disrespect any of the other tight ends, but Tony has been a mentor to many guys in that locker room. Tony's not a guy of many words, but he's a guy, when he comes to work, he comes to work. And much like all great players, you tell other players in the locker room, hey, you see that guy over there? You see what he's doing? Just mimic what he's doing, and you're going to help yourself become a better football player. Tony's out early catching balls. It rubs off on everybody, just not the receivers. We get defensive linemen out there working on the sled, offensive linemen coming out early. Tony's working in between periods. It's just a pleasure to watch and work with a guy that is as professional as he is.
When people talk about Tony, obviously, people talk about legacy. In a team game, the way football is, how much of a player's legacy should be dependent on things like championships and wins in big games?
Well, it's a team sport, and I think ultimately everybody knows how you're going to be judged in a team sport, and it's going to be how you perform in the off season. There's 31 teams or 32 teams. 31 are going to be disappointed at the end of the season. Only one's going to be happy, and that's what we're all fighting for. So, I really believe that your legacy is going to be based on the success that you have in the off season. That doesn't mean that you're not a great player. You haven't been on great teams. It's very difficult to win in the National Football League.
Have you noticed like an emotional factor in the locker room? Players maybe pulling for Tony, knowing that this could be his last shot.
We've got great teammates. I'm sure that everybody understands where Tony is. He made an announcement early on and in the preseason that. This was 95% chance that this was going to be his last year, and I know everybody would love to see Tony go out the right way.
Mike, how important was it last week to kind of get that running game? And that's been, I know y'all have obviously switched around the offense this year, but that probably was about the kind of balance I'm sure you've been looking for all year, and the two kind of the two-headed attack that
Well, again, we've not run the ball as efficiently as we'd like to throughout the season. We've done it in spurts. There have been games that we've done it well for an entire game. There's been times that we haven't run it well for a complete game. We'll have a spurt in a certain quarter or a spurt for 10 to 15 attempts on the running game. But I really believe, and I say this all the time, that there's going to be a time in every season where you're going to have to be able to run the football. And I think even when you're, quote, a passing team, if that's what people call you, you're still at some point are going to have to run the football. I think it's evident almost every year, especially when you get into the playoffs.
What are the kind of problems that pose with that kind of change of pace Michael broke off a big one himself last week. Obviously, they're very different types of backs.
They're different types of backs, but we have certain things that we feel one is better at, but there's not a situation where you think, well, we're only going to run Jacquez on this type of play or Michael on that type of play. But, you know, their body types are a little bit different. The running style is different, although I will say it was nice to see Jacquez run like Michael Turner. He did his best imitation last week in the ball game.
Speaking of running styles, can you talk about Frank Gore? He's got that, you know, forward lean, low center of gravity. What's key to stopping him?
Jim, Frank Gore is an outstanding running back. He is a guy that when he gets going north and south, there's not a whole lot to hit, and he's got very good vision. And when there's nothing there, he's going to make the most out of the most out of what's presented to him. He runs a lot faster than he runs on a clock. You can't look and go off what they say he runs a 40 in, because there's times that you'll see people don't catch him. But he is playing like a Pro Bowl running back.
Mike, your background, can you talk a little bit about the guys, defensive linemen who do the dirty work to keep the linebackers clean, and how important that is in a game like this with both a quarterback and a running back like that?
The importance of
defensive line, keeping offensive linemen off your linebackers getting a chance to play as clean as they can in space.
Well, I think it's very important. In oftentimes we talk about the defensive tackles and the defensive linemen, about it's not always about statistics. Coach Dirk Cutter uses it, and Mike Nolan uses the analogy. Sometimes there's got to be assist men for a team to be successful, or for a play to be successful. And I think that it's a great analogy to use for a football team on both sides of the ball. There's going to be times that every one of you are going to be asked to be the assist man and let the other guy go make the play.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.